It is good to see you all in the house of God tonight again. We thank you for coming, and we're glad to see your attendance here. We're glad as well to have tonight with us our brother, Mr. Stephen Jemison. I know he said this morning you don't call him Mr. Well, I always have respect for my elders. But we're glad to have Stephen with us. Enjoyed his ministry this morning. A simple word, but a good word from the Lord. So we're glad to have him back. Do remember our own minister in your prayers. As I said this morning, feeling unwell. A heavy dosage of antibiotics he has to take. So he felt it better that he wasn't in attendance at the house of God. So remember him in your prayers. Stephen, as he preaches, Naomi will be singing to us a couple of pieces during the service. So we're glad to welcome them this evening. Do remember the baskets at the exit, the offerings, two separate baskets, one for the normal church offering and the other for the missionary council, please. Tuesday night at 8 p.m, the Bible study and the prayer meeting, as usual, and in the will of God, our own minister will be along to take that meeting and continue the series that he did start on prayer last Tuesday night. After the prayer meeting, there will be a short meeting of the workers to consider the resumption of the parent and toddlers group. So if you can help or help in some way, then plan to attend that meeting. It will take place immediately after the prayer meeting. Friday night at 8 o'clock, Mr. Raymond Morrow is being ordained and installed as the minister in our Bush Mills church. That service will actually take place in the Coleraine Church, but it's being streamed live. And when we get the details of that connection, we'll make it known on the church WhatsApp site. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school at 10 o'clock, the family worship at 11:30, 7 p.m. the gospel service, preceded by the season of prayer. And our own minister, again in the will of God, will be along to preach at both services. And then at the end of the service next Sunday night, we will be holding the communion service, one of the two that we hold in the evening during the course of the year. Just a reminder to bring your own bread and wine. And if you need a replacement cup, I know that they're only temporary. Maybe some of them are leaking for you. There are more in the box there out in the foyer. You can get them tonight on your way out, Tuesday night or next Sunday morning. So if you need replacements, they're there in the box to avail yourselves of them. Then the following Sunday, the last Sunday of September, that's Sunday the 26th at 11:30 a.m, Mr. Andrew McMullen, who works with the boys and girls in County Monaghan, 7 p.m. Miss Christina Logan, who is the children's evangelist under our mission board. They will be coming. It'll be a special missionary Sunday. And of course, we'll have special offerings for that with our focus and our attention on the missionary work. So do remember that service and do plan to attend. Just remember those that are sick, those that need our prayers. Sister Mary goes for another treatment this week. Sister Erin McBurney, the appointment she has on 15th, the middle of this week, that she will know the help and with the decision that will be made with regard her as well. Do remember Catherine, our sister Nessie's daughter, out in Luxembourg, as she's out with her, and the need there as well. We commit them to thee, and we ask that you remember them and all the sick ones in the congregation in your prayers, please. We do give our brother Stephen a very warm welcome. We're glad to see him again. We enjoyed his ministry this morning. And so at this stage, I'm just going to hand the rest of the meeting over to you. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, James. It's a joy to be over to Ballygowan again today. And the fellowship here is always sweet. And I often go back to the days of Mr. William Black when I was delivering the post, and he made me a cup of tea in his wee house there in the Moss Road. And then looking at the photographs in the minister's room, the old building, I remember speaking in that. I must have been about 8 years of age, but I do remember that. So it's a joy to be here, and we look to the Lord for his blessing. Now we're going to sing the hymn 195 up on the screen. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. We'll remain seated as we sing, and again let us sing unto the Lord. Well, let us unite our hearts, please, around the throne of grace. Just remain seated as we seek the Lord in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, again, we thank thee, Lord, for all thy mercies to us today. And we thank thee, Lord, that thy mercies towards thy people are most tender. They are tender mercies. We thank thee, Lord, for thy great love. We thank thee, Lord, for how thou didst send thy precious and only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to live that righteous, holy life for us, to die on the cross, to be buried, to be raised again triumphantly from the dead, to ascend on high, to intercede for his people, and then one day to come in great power and in great glory. We thank thee, Lord, for this great and wonderful plan of redemption, how it was all looked forward to in the Old Testament, in types and shadows and in feasts, and set forth in so many wonderful ways. We thank thee in the fullness of time, the Saviour came. We thank thee, Lord, that now we remember his death till he come. Proclaim it in the gospel and the preaching of the gospel. And oh, we ask thee, Lord, tonight to abide with us here with great blessing and for the glory of thy great name. And Lord, we ask thee even tonight to save, to speak most earnestly and to speak most definitely to precious souls who are not yet converted, that they will come the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. We thank thee, Lord, for all we've heard by way of announcements, and we pray thee will bless each and every meeting and service in thy will, and remember the sick of this congregation. Draw ever near to them, Lord, and speak into their heart. Give them tokens for good, encouragements along the way, and may they know healing in their body. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless this district of the County Down, and Lord, speak, we pray, to many. And as this church through the winter months is lit up, we pray many will come in, find the Lord, find the Saviour. Go home rejoicing, go home justified from all things. So Lord, help us, we pray. Remember thy servant, Reverend Smiley, that he will be made well and raised up again, even to the pulpit here and the work of the ministry that thou hast called him to. Our other brethren that we know of are ill. Lord, bless them. Bless their congregations. Bless their families. And watch over them. Keep us all, Lord, safe in these days from this virus. And grant, O God, that we'll soon see by divine intervention the end of it. And Lord, that thou wilt speak to souls. And Lord, that thou wilt even cause men and women, young people, to consider what has been happening in this world. For Lord, we're all at thy mercy. O God in wrath, remember mercy. Lord, we just pray for family and friends and neighbors. Thou wilt speak to them. Save them, Lord, as thou hast saved us. Bring them to the Lord. So, Father, continue with us now and bless us. We pray and offer these petitions in the name, the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to call upon our sister, Miss Naomi Wilson, if she will come and bring her first message and song, please. Thank you.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love.
Singing in a little later in our service. If you have your Bible this evening, perhaps we'll read the scriptures just at this time. And I'd ask you to turn to the very familiar third chapter of John's Gospel. The Gospel of John and the third chapter. And we're going to commence reading at the verse marked 1. I should have said also it's always good to see Mervyn and Valerie. And Valerie's laughing. And it's good to see them. And we had much and great fellowship with them years ago. And I was just saved. And I certainly thank them for all their help and encouragement in the early days of my Christian life. Of course, Mervyn took me to Maynooth one day in his wee mini. I think he was trying to get me to sign up for the priesthood. But thankfully it wasn't open that day and we didn't get in. But I remember that because when we got back, being a wee mini, and even though I'm not very big, my knees were killing me even back then. But we made it. So it's always good to renew fellowship with Mervyn and Valerie. John chapter 3, verse marked 1. Let's hear again the words of the Lord. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We'll end the reading at verse 21. May the Lord bless tonight the reading of his precious word. Now we're going to all sing the hymn 101, please. Blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. And again, remaining seated. That's a lovely hymn. I'm just noticing Brother Tommy. Is it Tommy up there? And his wife from our church, Mount Marion. It's good to see him. Don't know if there's any others from Mount Marion, is there? Well, it's good to see you, Tommy. I wondered if it was you, these masks. Of course, you Belfast people are used to wearing masks down through the years. Being from Uitenards, I would know nothing about that. Well, we're going to call upon our sister Naomi, please, to come and bring her second piece.
There is coming a day when
Thank you, Naomi, very much. That's a lovely piece. And it takes a good one when you make a wee slip up to keep going. And the Lord bless her. Indeed, good to see someone young as that just singing the praises of the Lord. Well, can we stand, please, for a word of prayer, and then we'll take our seats and we'll look at this passage of God's word. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for that wonderful day, that great prospect that lives and abides in the believer's heart. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Lord, we do ask if there be any in this house, and they don't have that assurance. They don't know. They are not trusting Christ. We pray, Father, that now thou wilt make that way, whereby thy saving truth will lay hold upon them, and they will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. O Father, we pray for thy help, that thou wilt give us, Lord, the infilling of thy blessed Spirit, so that this word, Lord, will live. It'll quicken, it'll live in our hearts. We pray now, Lord, that you will help us in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. This wonderful chapter of God's Word, of course, it contains that wonderful verse, most well-known verse, the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I think it was Luther who said that you have here the Bible in miniature. But I was looking up some words that J.C. Ryle wrote concerning this chapter, at least the first part of this chapter, where the Lord Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And old Ryle, the bishop, he said, "A man may be ignorant of many things in religion and yet be saved. But to be ignorant of the matters handled in this chapter is to be in the broad way which leadeth to destruction." He then said, within the space of 20 verses, we read of the work of all three persons in the Trinity: the Father's love, the Son's death on the cross, and the Spirit's operation in the new birth of man. The corruption of man's nature, the nature of regeneration, and the efficacy of faith in Christ. The way to escape perishing in hell, the true cause of man's condemnation if he is lost, and the true marks of sincerity in an inquirer. A fuller sermon was never delivered than that which was here preached to Nicodemus in one evening. There is hardly a single important point in divinity which is left untouched. So when you get a man like Ryle saying these words and penning these words, it's certainly something to consider. Sometimes we might carry about with us the notion, you know, that Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus said to him the words of John chapter 3, verse 16, and that was it. No, there's so much more in this passage of God's precious word. Some have suggested very simply that really there are two great truths that the Lord deals with here. He deals with regeneration, or the new birth, and he deals with justification by faith alone in Christ alone to God's glory alone. And that certainly also is very true as you read down these wonderful words. As I was considering this passage, I saw five truths that the Lord Jesus dealt with as he spoke to Nicodemus. Now, we should say that Nicodemus, verse 2, came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. He had heard him. He had heard about his miracles. He acknowledges that this could not be a mere man. This was a teacher come from God, for no man can do those miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He had questions. He wanted to personally speak to Jesus of Nazareth. And he came to Jesus. I think that's wonderful. You know, this same Lord Jesus Christ, he has now ascended. He is in the glory. He is with us tonight by his Spirit. And if you're in the house tonight and you're not a Christian, you can come to him. You can come to the Savior. And you can speak to the Lord Jesus. And here's a wonderful thing. You can speak to the Lord Jesus about anything. Anything that's troubling you, anything that's in your life. You can speak to him about maybe a question that you have. Now, you can speak to others here. But let's be honest. None of us are absolutely open with each other. Sure, we're not. But you can be absolutely open before the Lord because he knows your heart. He knows everything in your heart. He knows everything in your past. He knows everything in your present. And he knows everything in your future. And there's nothing you can tell the Lord that he doesn't already know. So you can pour out your heart before him. This man Nicodemus, he came by night. Was he embarrassed? Was he being careful that he wouldn't be seen because he knew the reaction of the other Jewish leaders and Pharisees and scribes and Levites? But he came. He came. There's many in this house tonight, and they can testify that they came to Jesus. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. So tonight in the house, will you be like Nicodemus? Will you come to the Savior tonight? Will you come and be counseled? Will you come and talk to us about the Lord, and we can share with you scriptures concerning salvation, as we will be doing tonight? I'll tell you this. We know from other scriptures, and especially Nicodemus standing up for the Lord in the council, and then along with Joseph of Arimathea, caring for the Lord's body, even when his own apostles had departed and left him in fear, those two men took care of the Savior's body, and the Lord was buried. I'll tell you this, he never forgot that night. He never forgot that night. He came to Jesus. But you know, there's five truths, and very quickly, let me go through them. And as I considered them in my own study of this passage, first of all, of course, the Lord spoke of the need for spiritual birth. He spoke of the need for spiritual birth. Now, we all have had our natural birth. But if you look there at verse number 6, the Lord says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And if you were to be born naturally 100 times, you would still be flesh. And the great need is that you and I are born again of the Spirit of God, that we're born from above, that we're born from heaven by the operation and work of the Holy Spirit in our heart. Because you see, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Savior speaks to Nicodemus about the need, absolute necessity, for spiritual birth. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Missing the point entirely. In this kingdom of the Messiah, and he, of course, was a Jew, and he was looking for the Messiah, and no doubt came to Christ that night, certainly with thoughts that this could be the Messiah. Indeed. Not realizing that you enter into this kingdom not by being born a son of Abraham, naturally. Being born into a Jewish father, having a Jewish father and mother. No. How you come into this kingdom is by being born spiritually. Born of the Spirit of God. You see, this is the absolute necessity for every sinner. Because in our sins and in our natural state, as we're condemned because of our sinful nature and our sinful words and our sinful deeds, we cannot enter into the Lord's kingdom, and we cannot enter into heaven. The Lord Jesus, he's very clear about this. And he says in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, dear friend in the house tonight, if you are unconverted and you're not saved, then you're not cleansed. You see, the Savior said to Nicodemus that he had to be born of water and of the Spirit. He had to have that inner cleansing. He had to be born again, regenerated by the Holy Ghost. He had to be given new life. New life with a capital L. The very life of God in his soul. Nicodemus was a Jew. Nicodemus was a leader in Judaism, a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee. This man was religious. This man, no doubt, was righteous, as best he could be. But this man wasn't saved. He wasn't born again. And that's the first thing Christ said to him. You must be born again. the need for spiritual birth. And if you are born, and we all were born naturally, and we grow up and we live and we grow old, and if the Lord spares us, we grow to old age and we die. We die in our sins. Then we are lost because we haven't had this new birth. Make sure tonight you have had this spiritual birth. This work wrought in your heart. Religion, you know, the world is full of religions and people doing this and doing that and going here and going there and giving that and giving this. And they've never been born again. It's the Spirit of God. But the second thing the Lord speaks to Nicodemus about that I want to look at is the condemning power of sin. You know, he says there in verse 18, he that believeth on him, on Christ, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, if you were to protest tonight, I admit I'm not saved. I haven't been born again. I haven't trusted Christ as my Savior. But I'm not as bad as that. Well, you must be. Because what an insult to God the Father if you are refusing his precious Son. How many years have you refused Christ? How many times have you heard of Christ? How many times even has God spoken to you? How many hymns have you sung? How many passages of the Bible have you read along as the man in this pulpit has read the Scriptures? How many gospel missions have you attended? And yet you're refusing Christ. Oh, that is sinful, wicked indeed. And what is it, therefore, that you love more than Christ? Many, many, many years ago, when the Reverend Alan Dunlop was the minister in Newton Arch, we had a gospel meeting. Can't remember if it was a mission or a meeting. Anyhow, there was these two ladies came in, and it was evident just by their appearance that there were women of the world, one of them especially. But she remained behind. She wanted to speak to the preacher. And they sat down together, and Mr. Dunlop showed her from the Bible how she could be saved. And she said to him, if I get saved, will I have to stop going to the clubs and the pubs? And Mr. Knopp said to him, well, you know, you have to count the cost, and you can't have your sin. The Lord saves you from sins. And there's no doubt as you begin the Christian life, you trust the Lord will point out the things that you can no longer do. And she looks straight at him and she says, then it's not for me. God up and left. Where she is tonight, I do not know. What do you love more than Christ? What do you love so much that you're not willing to part with it in order to receive the Lord of life and glory? The condemning power of sin. Then the Lord spoke to Nicodemus about the lifting up of the Son of Man. If you look at verse 14, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Speaking about his cross, no doubt about that. You remember the story of the Old Testament where the people were bitten by the fiery serpents. They were dying. The Lord instructed Moses, and he was to make the serpent of brass and put it on the pole and lift it up and go through the camp, and all who would look would be delivered from the bites of those fiery serpents. Just a look. A look of faith, because they were trusting in what God had told Moses. They were trusting in the word of instruction. They were trusting in what this represented. And Christ says, just so, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And you know that he was lifted up between heaven and earth on that cruel cross, and there he died. And I want to ask you the question tonight. Have you looked? Have you looked to the Savior? Have you looked to the cross? Have you looked to what he did there? Paid the payment of sin. Have you looked? Just a look. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and besides me there is none else. See, every Christian in this house tonight, you know what we're doing and have been doing since we were converted? We're looking unto Jesus. You see, you look and you're saved. And then you spend your life looking onto Jesus, because he's the author and finisher of your faith. The moment you start looking to yourself, you'll fail, you know. But you keep looking onto Jesus. And then we're looking for him. We're looking for him. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's all about looking by faith. Have you looked? Christ spoke to this man about the lifting up of the Son of Man, the cross, the place called Calvary. You know, the other night, the Reverend Patrick Baker, who's our new pastor, he's 6'7". I don't like standing beside him. I joke, of course, about that, but he's very tall. But you know, he was telling us last Lord's Day in a message. No, in fact, it was Wednesday night. He was a young fella running about in, near the church in Lewis, and a group from Northern Ireland went over. I think the Reverend Philip Gardner was there, and our brother Noel Shields, and a lot of young people. And he just tagged along with them. He wasn't a believer. He wasn't a Christian. Knew very little about it. And in the bus, he went with them in the minibus, and they were singing that hymn, you know, "Mercy there was great and grace was free at Calvary." And do you know, he told us, "I had to ask those people, what's Calvary? What's Calvary?" He didn't know, but you know, they explained it to him. They told them about the Savior lifted up there on the tree and how he died to put away sins and make atonement for sins. And if he would just believe and receive Christ, he would be saved. Hallelujah, he did it. And now he's a preacher. He's preached in London for 12 years. He went to the Bible College, preached for 12 years in London, and now he's in Newton Orange preaching the word. And he didn't know what Calvary meant. Hallelujah. The Lord. Listen, you might be ignorant. I say that respectfully. I don't mean you're ignorant. But ignorant of spiritual matters. But if you know that you're a sinner, that Christ died to save you, and it's by faith alone, then you can come. Nicodemus came to Jesus. Our time's going. He spoke of the need for spiritual birth, the condemning power of sin, the lifting up of the Son of Man. See, there's more here than just those 25 words in John 3:16, though it's a great verse. He spoke about the need of faith in order to be saved. Oh, that comes across very much. Look at verse number 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Verse 16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Verse number 18, he that believeth in him is not condemned. How are you saved? How can you receive this great work that Christ wrought and all the virtue and value of it and all that it means for all eternity? How do you receive it? By faith alone. It's God's way. It's God's way. People stumble at that, but it's God's way. And you don't add anything to that. Faith alone. Have you come to the place in your life where you've simply received the Lord? Testimony of Scripture concerning him. You'll not know everything. The night I was saved, I didn't know the Westminster Confession of Faith. I hadn't read the shorter and the larger catechism. I have since. But I didn't know a lot of that stuff. But oh, I knew I needed to be saved. I know I couldn't save myself. I knew there was only one Savior. And in the old John Knox Church, 1977, October, I trusted the Lord, 17 years of age, by faith alone. But he also spoke about the everlasting nature of God's salvation, didn't he? You see, he says there in that great verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sometimes I go up to Boot Hill in Newtownards. That's what I call the Villa Cemetery. Boot Hill. That's where Newtownards folk are buried. A man told me one day in Marcus Street, he says, have you got a grave yet? I says, no. Well, he says, you can't buy them now until you're dead. I don't think it'll be me buying it then. But he says, no, you used to be able to buy them, and there's people that even have their heads stolen up already and they're not in it yet. But he says, you can't do that now. And he says, you know what? It's filling up and you'll end up in Donaghadee. I says, no way. I'm a Newtownards man. And I'll be buried in the villa. But sometimes I'm up there, you know, and I look at some of the graves, and you can stand there on a lovely day. You can see Scraba, and away in the distance, the Mourne Mountains, and you can see down Strangford Lock and across the peninsula. And you're looking down on top of Newtownards, the town I love so well. And I often think, you know, well, that's a nice place to meet eternity. For my earthly remains to lie there. Maybe the Lord will come before I die. The way things are in this old world, I would not be shocked at that. But if I die, and my body is laid there, my spirit and soul will go home to glory. When the Lord returns, he will call that body forth again. Don't ask me how he'll do it, but he'll do it. It'll all be reconstructed again, glorified body for eternity. And forever, I will be with the Lord. I will be with the Lord. But you know, the Saviour not only spoke of the everlasting nature of God's salvation, but he also spoke of the everlasting nature of perdition and hell. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Christ was faithful to this man's soul. Of course he was. He's the truth. And you can perish, you know. You can perish in your sins, or you can die in faith. I love that verse in Hebrews. These all died in faith. But Christ said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot be. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Christ did not come into this world to condemn it, but that men and women, boys and girls, might be saved. On the authority of Christ's own words, you can be saved tonight if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn from everything you've held on to and believed and rested in and enjoyed, whatever it might be, sin, habits, thoughts, opinions. You know, people sometimes talk about people who have political baggage. You hear that expression. They've all this baggage with them. Well, a terrible lot of people have spiritual baggage or religious baggage. Throw it all away and come to the blessed Savior. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Many can testify to that in this house. Salvation is in Christ. You need to be born again. You need to believe. You need to receive God's dear Son. May the Lord bless these thoughts tonight again to our hearts. If you're an anxious soul, then please speak to someone. Get alone. You can in your own heart come to the Lord now as we quietly close the meeting in prayer, and you can ask the Lord now to save you. We were going to sing a hymn. We'll not sing it, but can I just read to you some of the verses of that hymn. It's a lovely hymn. And it says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive. Wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Let's pray. Father, we do thank thee for this wonderful passage of thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for Nicodemus coming. Though he came by night, we thank thee, Lord, he came. And we thank thee, Lord, that when he came, he found that the Lord Jesus was so willing to speak to him. Speak to him about his soul. Speak to him about eternity. Speak to him about he can be right with God. Speak to him about how he can have everlasting life. And we know, Lord, in thy word, thou dost bid sinners come. Come unto me. Lord, we're not preaching a church tonight, and we're not preaching a creed tonight, and we're not preaching a mere religion tonight. We're preaching Christ and Him crucified. O Father in heaven, bless thine own word. And may souls be saved this night to the glory and honour of thy great name. Father, take us home now in safety. Bless us on the road as we travel. Keep us, Lord, looking on to Jesus. Keep us, Lord, in thy love, the conscious enjoyment of thy love day by day. Help us to serve thee in some way, helping men and women and young people to Christ. And now may thy grace, thy love, and thy mercy and thy peace abide with every believer tonight and every night and every day till the Saviour comes or calls. In his precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen.